I introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hi there and welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be on the internet if you are a UK-based seller wanting to sell in the US on Amazon and private label. So this is episode number 12 and part 10 of the Amazing Startup System. Gotta give the drummer his time there. Nice ending there. I like my jazz, so I hope you're enjoying the new theme music. We've got a slightly more upbeat version than we had on the last few ones. So so welcome back, Amazing FBA, and this is the podcast. It's part of a whole community that's beginning to grow now. Don't forget about the Facebook group. If you want to join that, it's amazingfba.com/F for Frank, B for Bertie, or just go to the Facebook if you're on Facebook already, and Google Amazing FBA, search for it, or you can go to the blog and join us there, amazingfba.com, which is where all the show notes are. This will be amazingfba.com/12. That's where you'll find the show notes here. Please get in touch and ask questions. I'd love to start doing more Q&As. I know there's a couple of people that I met in person that I was very excited to meet, four listeners in person at a conference that I went to, a summit on Amazon, about which more in future episodes. But I'm going to keep it focused today. Today is the end of the system. So basically, you've done your product launch, so you've done research, you found your product, you've negotiated with suppliers, and you've got it through the whole freight system. You've done inspection at some point. Obviously, at some point, you set up a company or a business, you set your seller central account up, and you've got your product live and you've done a product launch. So, what next? So, today is dealing with that question of what next. Okay, so the first thing to do is to think about the daily routine that involves Amazon. So customer service, I think, needs to be your number one priority. And it's interesting that John Gill, who's one of the most successful ASM sellers, who I think recently started turning over up to about $1 million a month, guys, not per year. So amazing success and a really great guy. But he says customer service really is his absolute priority. So it's a very natural thing to go to Amazon first thing. I think you need to go straight to the message tab, or what's the word, tab? They've got widgets, that's the word, on your Seller Central account on the main sort of dashboard. So you need to go straight there and check, is there any message from any buyers? And they have a 24-hour message rule, which is to say that Amazon keeps statistics on everything that happens in your account. And one of the stats they measure your performance by is how quickly you respond to messages. They have a 7-day, a 30-day, and a 90-day percentage. And the basic rule is that you need to be answering 90% of messages in under 24 hours. And I've fallen foul of that occasionally when I've been on holiday or something like that. You can actually turn customer support emails off. However, I'd so much rather know if there's a problem myself, because quite often people will contact you just before they start feeling really aggrieved and start putting one-star reviews up for your product. So if there's a problem, I'd rather know about it. And I suggest you do the same as well. So communication with buyers is probably your most important thing you can do. First of all, if they say that their product's messed up, let's deal with this briefly and quickly. Say sorry, replace it, and refund it. I would suggest you do both. We're offered to do either. Certainly, a replacement in the first instance is probably better, because it's cheaper for you in some ways. If somebody's paid $15 for a product and you've only sourced it for $5, it's going to be cheaper for you to give it to them. However, the shipping costs are going to be more substantial than you might want. I think it's something like $4 or $5 to send something in the standard 7 days or fewer, and $9 to send it within 2 to 3 working days. I'm not quite sure of those figures. Double check that if you need to. But I personally want to build up a good reputation and minimize one-star reviews, so I always tend to send things 2-day shipping. That's a personal decision. But I wouldn't be cheapskate about this stuff, especially when you haven't got many reviews. If you've got loads of reviews and you've got good sales, you can afford to be a little bit more relax with your customers, shall we say, but always be apologetic, always be quick to respond. And in my experience, people are delighted when you're quick to respond, even if it's just a replacement rather than a refund and a replacement, because they feel cared for. And like most of the time, it seems from the way that they react, they've had a very offhand customer service experience from other people. So that's a really, really important part of your Amazon business, is the customers. The next thing you want to do is look at your sales statistics. Now, I say the next thing you'll want to do, you'll be obsessed if you're like anybody else who's human selling in this business. So if you get the app on your phone, which you can get if you have an iPhone, and doubtless there's an Android version by now as well, then you can actually check the Amazon Seller Central account. And I'm just having a quick look at my phone here to see what I can see here. But you see the number of orders that come through. You can actually get the dollar amount that it sold for, the name of the person and the exact time as well. So it gives you quite a lot of detail. That's an app called Seller Mobile, unsurprisingly. The Amazon Seller native app, as in one created by Amazon, gives you a slightly different breakdown. And so you could use that as well. And that tells you the number of sales per day and per week, or per week and per quarter, or per month rather. And it will also tell you about communications from buyers. So you can just use an app and you might find that convenient. However, I would suggest if you possibly can, log in on a computer and go straight to your sales page or your Amazon Seller Central account rather. So the sales statistics are what we're all obsessed with. What you want to be doing as well is looking at some other stats, which will be clicking on the show more statistics. And there's multiple things we can go into there, but I certainly think you want to be looking at the conversion percentage weekly. But we'll talk about that in a second. I mean, maybe on a day-to-day basis, you don't need to worry about that so much. If your sales are suddenly dropping off a cliff, then there's reasons to go back to look at your listing or look at the marketplace or just generally review the situation. I'm going to leave it at that for now, and we'll look into what you should be doing weekly in a second as well. Then you're looking at Amazon ads costs, and again, you click on the advertising or campaigns tab underneath advertising and go and check how many sales you're getting, what your cost is of the sales, and the advertising cost of sales, ACOS. When you're first launching, I suggest you let that run up to 100%. Once you're out of the launch phase, then I think you want to be getting that lower. And I've recently picked up some very powerful information about changing our approach to Amazon ads versus giveaways as a way of keeping traffic, which I'll deal with it in a separate podcast. But broadly speaking, ACOS being high is okay when you're in the launch phase, but otherwise you want to be trimming or cutting out or reducing your keyword spend, so your cost per click spend, if the ACOS is getting above your profit margin. So if you've got a 33% margin, if you're selling at break even, so that would be about ACOS of 33%. Above that, you're actually losing money. If you're launching, that's okay. If you're stabilized in that post-launch phase, then that is not so good. So those are actually the main things that I would check on a day-to-day basis. Your daily routine for non-Amazon stuff probably needs to include emails, any paid advertising you're doing, such as Facebook or Google, and social media as well. So let's deal with that first of all. You're going to have emails from suppliers. You may have emails from customers, so via the Amazon system. I would deal with that within the Amazon system because occasionally it seems that the emails don't connect directly. But in theory, you can deal with that from within your email account, your email, whatever it is for you. For me, it's mail for Mac. It might be Gmail straight on a browser. It might be something else. When it comes to emails, I think an Amazon business is like any other business. It's really dangerous to open up your email browser first thing. I think you should never do that. I think you should get your list the night before, and there's other tips on productivity we can look into, but the main thing that I found works is get your list the night before, particularly if you're an evening person, which I am not a morning person. I'm definitely not a morning person. If you're a morning person, get up at the crack of dawn, make your list with your coffee, and then, you know, approach your desk. But do not approach your desk without a clear list of things to do. That's just going to mean you open email or just go into over-responsive mode. Now, by all means, open up your Amazon Seller Central account first and respond to what's going on in that. I think that is the best thing to do. After that, then my workflow would be to work on non-email tasks that I might have set myself for the day, such as product launch work. I might be creating a promotion within Amazon, or I might be going to AMZ Tracker and putting up the launch codes into that and creating a new launch within AMZ Tracker. Or I might be monitoring who's responded with AMZ Tracker, which is one of my tasks later, to see who has come back and said, yes, I want to review your product, and approving some of those to review your product. So all of which will move your business forward more than responding to the odd email in most cases. Customer service, however, has to be dealt with as a separate thing, but you can do that within Amazon. So I wouldn't open emails until you have dealt with all those other things. Not something I suggest for the beginning, but you may be familiar with those platforms, and in which case you might want to do that. There are implications for running Facebook ads straight to your page, which is that it lowers the conversion percentage. Now, again, I've heard a couple of very big Amazon sellers, one person who's selling $400,000 a month worth of stuff, say that actually they're not too bothered about conversion percentage because they don't think that Amazon takes that too seriously as part of their overall algorithm. I'm not sure about that, but my preference would probably at this point be to run Facebook ads to an email sign-up form, like hosted by Lead Pages, and then have Aweber creating an email list. That's quite complex stuff, so I wouldn't necessarily bother with that if I was starting out. I'd work on the basics. But if you are doing those forms of advertising, that's the next thing you need to be checking. Next thing then, if you're creating social media, and again, this is not something that's a must-have at the beginning, but we talked about creating a Facebook fan page, so you need to be making sure you're creating or posting content for that. I have to admit that that's one of those things that goes to the bottom of my pile, and I think that's okay because it's less likely to be powerful in the, you know, short and immediate term in terms of getting sales, but it is a good idea to build up medium long term. So I confess that's one of my weaknesses. I don't take that seriously enough yet. Also, you should be probably going using Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram as well. I mean, they are free, I suppose, but I'm aware of the fact that there's no direct way of measuring return on investment of time and energy in those things, but it is something that going forward I should be better at. You might be good at as well. A word of warning though, don't get obsessed with social media. Again, it's like email. You sit there and you think, oh, I've done loads of things for my business. I've put lots of Facebook posts up. If you've got a Facebook fan page, I've done loads of pictures on Twitter and Instagram, whatever. That's all very well, but where is the clear path from that to your next sales, or at least building up a list of people who you can go back to in future for sales, which is in itself, and a list of customers or would-be customers is a great asset. A list of customers is, by the way, a much greater asset than would-be customers or prospects. But if it's not sales or prospective customers that you're getting out of a process, I would question it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but you need to be very clear why you're doing it and have a strategic goal you're trying to achieve. So if in doubt, guys, just focus on the basics. Get into Amazon, make sure your product listing is optimized, and make sure you're checking your stats carefully and then taking action on those results. Okay, so now let's talk about the weekly stats you got to check. Yeah, I like that jazz, I have to say. Anyway, back to the plot. So yeah, weekly, you're going to check the same sort of thing that you check daily, but you want to look into things in more detail. And, you know, weekly is the kind of a minimum that I would leave things. First of all, you want to be looking at your sales stats by product. You want to look at the daily, weekly and monthly sales. And you want to look at trends. I mean, if suddenly your sales start to take off, that's wonderful. You need to try and work out why that is. Is it because you've got more reviews? Has one of your competitors suddenly had their wrist slapped by Amazon and a lot of reviews A lot of reviews removed. Ah, that's a bit of a tongue twister. And, you know, other such things as well. You want to be checking your conversion percentages as well by ASIN if you've got more than one product. That is to say, by your Amazon product. Most likely you'll have one product at this stage. It could be that you've gone in feet first and you've got two variations on the same product, or even similar products but which aren't technically variations. But if that is the case, then break your statistics down by product. And look also at your Amazon ad stats in great care, because you can spend a lot of money on Amazon ads. That can be useful and it can be money down the drain. So check carefully your ACOS per campaign and per keyword as well. So you're going to have probably, as we talked about with the launch strategy, a auto campaign going. And you will need to download the keywords report from that after a few days, because you won't be able to break it down to individual keywords. And then you'll need to look at your manual campaign, where you're looking at the main sort of keywords you've got from AMZ Tracker or any other source. And you'll need to analyse what's going on with those. So it's early days. I wouldn't, after 7 days, totally can something, but I might choose to spend a little bit less money per click. Now, there is a view that Amazon ads are a bit of a waste of time and are not good value, and you're better off giving away products. That isn't something I have a lot of experience of yet, but I am about to start experimenting with a sort of drip feed of giveaway of two products a day. I'm doing a massive launch, or relaunch if you like, of my main first product at the moment, and I will let you know how that goes. So it could be that I'll approach these things differently, and I think quite a few people that I know have been approaching things one way and may approach it differently as well. So I'll let you know about that. But certainly you need to keep an eye on the statistics. And broadly speaking, as I said, when you're doing a launch, if you have a high ACOS, I think that's okay. But if it's getting above 100%, then you need to certainly spend less on that campaign per keyword, the cost per click. You should reduce your maximum bid. And if it's consistently too high over time, you should reduce it quite a lot. You need to look at your sales in absolute terms as well and just see if your number of units shifting is roughly where you need it to be. And yeah, when it comes to the auto campaign, you need to download the auto campaign report, which is basically going to be some form of spreadsheet. Check which keywords made the best sales, which is the best ACOS, which made the most sales in absolute terms. So for example, you might find that one keyword has a 20% advertising cost of sales, which is fantastically good, but you only made 3 sales in a week, or say you made 2 sales a month, then obviously that's not going to make you rich. You might find another keyword made you 100 sales, but the advertising cost of sales was 50%, which is actually pretty good, but it's still not profitable probably. But it will be sparking organic listed sales, which will be profitable. So that sounds quite good, that kind of thinking. And the whole thing of checking stats is something that needs dealing with separately and in a precise kind of way. But the other things you might want to be tracking, probably on a weekly basis, if not daily, number of units sold, the unit session percentage, which is under your sales thing, which is the conversion percentage, that's really important. And obviously the sales as well, as in the dollar amount. You need to look at your keyword tracking data. Use AMZ Tracker. Keep an eye on where your keyword's ranking. If you're doing a big product launch, you should see it increase and improve for those keywords. If it isn't, then there's something very strange going on, so you need to keep an eye on that. Now, some big name sellers recommend scraping your own listing periodically and using Keyword Inspector. I have to say my experience of that, and other people that I've spoken to recently who've gone into detail about their business in honesty in private, not sort of trying to make a big public point, have said, you know, really they found it a bit silly because it came up with 400 different keywords, most of which were nonsense. But it's worth investigating, put it that way. Sometimes amongst all the nonsense, you can come up with some useful things. Then the other thing, I would go for 3 more things. Track your reviews daily. I'm a bit bad about this, but it's true that sometimes Amazon will suddenly decide in its wisdom to just can a bunch of reviews. Or one person who was doing a crazy amount of sales just lost 100 reviews in one day. She contacted Amazon Seller Central and got them back. So really worth getting in touch with them. Sometimes they're implementing new terms of service at the moment, as is famous. Everyone's discussing it in the Amazon community. But the thing is that sometimes they will end up hurting people that are actually doing nothing wrong. And if that's the case, then they'll often put it right. So if you spot something very weird going on, then have a chat to them. The other thing you want to be doing is looking at launch data. If you've just done a launch, which if you've been following this system, you will have done, how well it did it do giving away, say, 100 versus 50? You could try one-time blast and then give it a few days and then check the sales and conversion statistics. How well did that work? And then at another time, you could try trickling them out, maybe another couple of weeks later, at 2 a day or something for a week, and then leave it for a week to collect statistics. One thing about statistics when it comes to sales, because the Amazon system is not quite state-of-the-art in the back end of things, and also because sometimes people will click on a product, put it in their cart, and then actually not complete their purchase for several days, I would not assume that you know anything about the statistics and the result of, say, a launch or a price change or anything else, unless you've given it several days worth of data. Ideally, 7 days seems to be what everyone agrees. So in other words, you run the thing for 7 days, then, and this is the key point, you leave it for 7 days and then review the data. And the reason for that delay is because sales take time to come through, as I've just mentioned. So don't try and change everything at once. That's the other thing when it comes to testing. Change one variable at once, give it enough time to test it, shut the test off. For example, if you're running pay-per-click ads or if you're doing a launch, then put an end date on it, give it several days, and then review the stats and then make some decisions on that. The other things you want to be doing, which are not quite sort of weekly routines necessarily or daily, but need to be part of your rhythms of the business, as it were, is possibly monthly at the very least, but maybe weekly. You want to be starting to look at potentially other products as well. You want to have a sort of pipeline of potential products from your sort of research department, which is just you at the moment. I mean, you could even start delegating such things to a VA if you want, but I mean, the software is making it easier and easier to do yourself. I have to say that that is one of the things that I am tempted to outsource, because it's, how can I put this? It's the top of this, the funnel, at the bottom of which you get your actual product sales. So if you don't sort of put things in at the top of the funnel, the very beginning of the process of creating this business, then months down the line, you won't have new things. So that is something that I'd be tempted to outsource quite soon, but at the beginning, you probably want to do for yourself. So there are multiple things to be doing, but don't neglect the future of your business. And we'll be talking in future episodes about, I'm going to do an episode about a sort of 12-month plan, which I have to say, I've done 12-month plans and I've done other 12-month plans, and they don't ever quite pan out how I expect them to, but it's good to have a sense of direction and a clear goal. And even though I'm normally quite a large amount of weeks behind my schedule, sometimes months, sadly, it still gives me a direction of travel, and I still end up trying to achieve those things. But one of those things, therefore, needs to be constantly looking at other possibilities of products in your niche, and just keep your brain open for it. So you can even look at the Amazon is going to tell you what products are often sold with your products, and that will emerge more and more clearly as you make more sales. So don't ignore that. So when you go back to your listing or your competitor's listing, you know, if you see that if you're selling a silicon spatula and people often buy a garlic press with it, for example, then you might want to think about selling a garlic press, in which case then you can start the process of connecting with potential suppliers and so forth. And again, that's something you might want to think about delegating to a VA, but I haven't done that yet myself, I admit. I've found somebody who's an expert in procurement in China, and he is dealing with potentially sourcing the next product that I'm serious about. And then going forward, I want him to do that with other products as well. What strikes me is that if you delegate from your English to a Filipino, for example, doing that, and then they're speaking to a Chinese person in their second language, English, or their foreign language, and then the Chinese person's also speaking their second language, you're talking about almost literally Chinese whispers. I mean, I think the potential for misunderstandings could be quite large. So my inclination, if you're going to outsource finding Chinese suppliers, would be to get somebody who speaks decent English but is Chinese, or speaks Chinese as fluently as a native speaker. So anyway, that's just slightly getting outside the point here, but that is a sort of ongoing, that's the sort of thing that you need to be thinking about. You know, what product lines am I going to go into next? When am I going to get a VA on board? Who am I going to source for that? How do I do that? When it comes to VAs, I haven't done it myself yet. I know quite a few people who have. And I think that the story that emerges is exactly what I would expect from the theory that I know, which is you don't expect to get it right first time. So if you are going to get a VA on board, it's exactly like negotiating with suppliers and then finding products. You might get three samples from three different suppliers for a product, and you might find that all three of them are rubbish, or you might find that two are not very good, but the third one's good. And that, broadly speaking, seems to be the story with people and their experiences of VAs as well. So it's like anything else. If you're looking ahead to expanding your business, which includes expanding the product range, possibly expanding the ways in which you promote, so you might start doing aggressive YouTube marketing, and therefore you have to become an expert in that, for example, or ways of expanding the business such that your time is used more wisely and therefore getting people on board. Any of those are sort of business expansion type thinking. So I'm not getting into the details of those now, but the point is these are the sorts of things that you need to make time for, not daily, not even weekly, but once a month. Maybe you need to review it with a mentor, if you can find somebody who's further down the track than you and is willing to work with you and is willing to take time away from their own Amazon business to work with you. Or you want to get a Skype accountability group, and every so often you might want to meet up physically and discuss these things. And I think it's important every so often to discuss future expansion. I think an absolute minimum for that is once a quarter, so once every 3 months, or once per season, if you like, that you really should sit down and do a thorough bit of future planning and reviewing where you've been, including statistics, including your customer relationships, including customer feedback and reviews, and including what's worked and what hasn't in terms of launches, that sort of thing. And there, where you want to be in 3 months, 6 months, a year as well. So that's, in a sense, also part of your daily routine, but is getting on to a different topic area, which is one we're going to cover in a future episode, which is future planning. Okay, so that's about it for the sort of weekly and daily routine. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can build in yourself, and you're going to have to look into what you want to be doing as well. I'm just trying to think if there's anything that I've left out here. Let me see. Let me pinch this direct from Amazing Seller Machine. So check for new seller feedback. That's true. You need to check for that. So seller feedback is slightly different from reviews. So that's something I've been slack on. I confess, mea culpa. So make sure that you've gone back and checked that. If they say that they're upset because things were delivered late, you can apologise for that and say, unfortunately, it's Amazon's fault, but, you know, you're still sorry. If they've left what's effectively a product review, here's two things you can do. If it's a good review, go back to them, say, thank you so much for leaving the feedback. I really appreciate it. Amazon thrives on reviews, and we're a small business. You can really emphasize the personal angle. When you're dealing with suppliers, by the way, you want to look as big as you can and as corporate as you can and as established as you can. But when you're dealing with customers, you want to look as small and friendly and personal as you can, which, since you're a startup and you're probably doing everything, is a great virtue. So don't hide that. You know, make it very personal, make it sort of the sort of thing that, please help me, I'm a little guy kind of thing. You can say it would be fantastically helpful to us as a fledgling company or a small company, whatever you want to say, to have your review. There's a difference between seller feedback, which is for anything to do with the sales, you know, the customer service experience, or whether the product was delivered on time or the packaging or whatever, and product reviews, which is what you actually think of the product. If a customer's left what amounts to a bad review, but it's actually technically under seller feedback, which is different, then you can do two things. I would go back to them and say, I'm really sorry to hear that. Can you tell me exactly what it is that made you feel that? Offer them a refund. Do the usual things that you do if you get an email, or indeed if you get a bad review. Then contact them, apologize, offer to replace, and ask them to tell you in detail what it is that's wrong, because you need to know for future product development and improvement. But also, you can find out a great deal about a customer that way, and they appreciate the fact that you're asking their opinion. It's a respectful thing. So do that. What you can also do, though, if they've left negative feedback as distinct from a review, you need to be clear in your own mind about the difference, because you need to explain it to your customers, who won't be experts on Amazon necessarily. Then you can go back to Amazon and say, right, this person's left effectively a product review under seller feedback. Now, under Amazon's terms of service, as I understand them anyway, that is not actually allowed. So they can actually remove it, okay? Because you've asked them to remove a product review effectively from the seller feedback space. Now, that's the only way you can effectively get rid of a negative review. You can't actually get rid of a negative review under a product yourself. Only Amazon or the customer can do that, but you can remove it from seller feedback. So there's a useful tip there, hopefully. Other things you want to be doing, you want to check inventory levels. If the amount of sales, say in the last 7 days, you've sold 30 units and you only have 100 units in inventory, then on average, you are projecting to run out of inventory within just over 3 weeks. So if your lead time from your manufacturer is about 6 weeks, and you should know by now from your first experience what reality is, rather than just the theory of that, it may be 6 weeks when you thought it was going to be four, or you might be agreeably surprised it might only be 3 weeks, but I wouldn't rely on that. I would also build a bit of extra leeway in. Then you can know roughly when you need to reorder inventory, and that means you're going to have to put more money in. You won't necessarily have had all the money coming back out of that, which implies that you need to have a decent amount of cash going to this business. And I'm going to deal in a separate episode with what I think it takes to run an Amazon business, and having enough cash is definitely one of those. It's a good idea as well to go directly onto your product listing, if not daily, then every couple of days or so, and check for any questions or comments. You should have a way of getting Amazon to contact you about that via email, so that you know if you've got a comment in. But I can't actually remember exactly where that is on Seller Central now. If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes, of course. But otherwise, just have a look at your listing and have a look at everything in it in detail at least once a week. I mean, I tend not to do it more often than that, but I'm a bit slack about that. But I would definitely be looking at the actual listing and see exactly what your customers see at any point as well. I'm just having a think about what else you might want to do here. Broadly speaking, you want to do one thing every day to promote your listing, either optimize it a bit, or, you know, be creating some form of social media thing or a press release or something along those lines. I have to admit that has not been my strength, which is probably one reason why I could be doing better than I am now. But that is something going forward that I will be looking into. At the moment, it's probably as simple as just get some stuff up on my Facebook fan page so that it becomes a more interesting place to be. Right then, I think that really is it for the main sort of daily routines or weekly routines. Hope that gives you a flavour of the main things that I do weekly, monthly, quarterly. And we can talk more about future planning. We can talk more about the financial requirements as well. There are several other topics that I have be in my bonnet that I want to address that I think will be helpful and useful, some of which are addressed elsewhere. And some of them I think are not looked into often enough when people talk about the Amazon opportunity and they miss the fact that on the other side of opportunity, there are problems to solve, which is fine. But I think it helps to know what they are going in. Anyway, so that's it from me. As ever, please come back to me. Let me know your thoughts. I'm very happy to tweak things. It's your podcast, guys. It's for you. It's going to help you, not my sake particularly. So I'm enjoying it, but I want it to be useful. So tell me what you want changed and we will change it. If you've got any questions, I'd love to answer them. AmazingFBA.com/ask. Leave a voicemail there and I will have you on the podcast effectively. If you know of somebody, or you may be that person yourself who's turning over at least $10,000 a month on Amazon, or has done in the past recently, and or has been in business in Amazon for at least a year or close to that, so that they have some experience to offer, some wisdom and also mistakes that they've made, then I'd love to hear from you or from them, because I would love to get some interviews going. I'm going to be approaching several people that I personally know who are Amazon sellers, but it'd be great to spread the net widely, because I think interviews are a fantastic format for podcasts. I certainly find them inspiring. So let's get that going, guys. This is your podcast. So go to the blog amazingfba.com/12 if you want to check any detailed notes on this. Come and join our Facebook group amazingfba.com/FB. One thing I nearly forgot to say is that we are running still the iTunes reviews and ratings competition, which means the first 25 people to leave a rating and review on iTunes will be put into the hat, and the winner of those will get a £50 Amazon voucher. I mean, if it happens to be somebody from the US, then I'll make it into US dollars, whatever the equivalent is at that time, whatever, $75, $80, whatever that is. So, or for that matter, if it's somebody in a different country where you haven't got an Amazon, that's going to be a bit challenging, but I will, well, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. So get in there, guys. It's not easy. iTunes doesn't make it easy to leave reviews. So if you have any questions, please come back to me and ask that. Maybe just pop a note on the show notes, or do it in the Facebook page or the Facebook group, if you're a member. The Facebook page is amazingfba.com/, oh gosh, it's some ridiculous number. It's a bit hard to find, actually. So you're best off just looking for it on Facebook. So that's the main thing I wanted to put across. Get the reviews coming in. It'd be lovely to get some review love. The downloads are going well, but the reviews, as ever, are harder to get. Same on iTunes as with Amazon. So that's it for this week, at least for this podcast. I say for this week, I'm aiming to get a couple of podcasts a week up as a minimum. I hope that I will be able to keep that up. So keep listening out. This is the end of the 10-part series now. So you should be launched with your business by working through these 10-part series. So that goes from episodes 3 to episode 12. Next episodes, as I say, future episodes are going to be dealing with the question of what it takes to do this. And I'm going to be talking about how much time, money, and what kind of mindset you need. And then a 12-month plan to growth, which you can turn also into a 6, and a 3-month plan, you can break it back down. And then several other sort of little topic areas that are coming up from working with other people. And then I'd love to hear your questions, so leave them on the blog, amazingfba.com/ask. Other than that, I'm still trying to find, by the way, a great tagline for the end of the show. Perhaps we should have another competition for that. I can't keep offering massive Amazon voucher prizes, but let's Facebook guys, anyone who's in the Facebook group or anyone who's interested, then let me know. Let's have a little competition to see what sort of best parting words I can give you. But I think something like imperfect action beats perfect inaction. By all means, absorb stuff, get a bit obsessed, and then get out and take some action. Take small scale action. Don't put all your money down in one go, because that's never a great idea. On the other hand, don't spend nothing because you haven't got anything on the line, you haven't got any skin in the game, you won't be committed. So get out there, take small actions, learn, take another small action, learn from it. So read and learn, take action, review. That's the kind of golden trilogy of actions. So maybe I should find some slick way of putting that. Anyway, guys, go and take action, get in touch, ask your questions, and other than that, I'll see you in the next podcast.